Governor? Governor Powell? Your Excellency, the Archbishop? Governor Lawrence? Mayor Tate? Senator Clark? Congressman Green? Distinguished governors? Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of Philadelphia, it is a high honor for any citizen of the great republic to speak at this Hall of Independence on this day of independence, to speak as President of the United States to the chief executives of our 50 states is both an opportunity and an obligation. The necessity for comity between the national government and the several states is an indelible lesson of our long history. Because our system is designed to encourage both differences and dissent, because its checks and balances are designed to preserve the rights of the individual and the locality against preeminent central authority, you and I, governors, both recognize how dependent we both are, one upon another, for the successful operation of our unique and happy form of government. Our system and our freedom permits the legislative to be pitted against the executive, the state against the federal government, the city against the countryside, the party against party, interest against interest, all in competition or in contention one with another. Our task, your task in the State House, and my task in the White House is to weave from all these tangled threads a fabric of law and progress. Others may confine themselves to debate, discussion, and that ultimate luxury, free advice. Our responsibility is one of decision, for to govern is to choose. Thus, in a very real sense, you and I are the executives of the testament handed down by those who gathered in this historic hall 186 years ago today. For they gathered to affix their names to a document which was, above all else, a document not of rhetoric, but of bold decision. It was, it is true, a document of protest, but protests had been made before. It set forth their grievances with eloquence, but such eloquence had been heard before. But what distinguished this paper from all the others was the final, irrevocable decision that it took to assert the independence of free states in place of colonies, and to commit to that goal their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Today, 186 years later, that declaration, whose yellowing parchment and fading, almost illegible lines I saw in the past week in the National Archives in Washington, is still a revolutionary document. To read it today is to hear a trumpet call for that declaration unleashed. Not merely a revolution against the British, but a revolution in human affairs. Its authors were highly conscious of its worldwide implications. And George Washington declared that liberty and self-government were, in his words, finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. This prophecy has been borne out. For 186 years, this doctrine of national independence has shaken the globe, and it remains the most powerful force anywhere in the world today. There are those struggling to eke out a bare existence in a barren land who have never heard of free enterprise, but who cherish the idea of independence. There are those who are grappling with overpowering problems of illiteracy and ill health, and who are ill-equipped to hold free elections. But they are determined to hold fast to their national independence. Even those unwilling or unable to take part in any struggle between East and West are strongly on the side of their own national independence. If there is a single issue in the world which divides the world, it is independence. The independence of Berlin or Laos or Vietnam. The longing for independence behind the Iron Curtain. The peaceful transition to independence in those newly emerging areas whose troubles some hope to exploit. The theory of independence is as old as man himself, and it was not invented in this hall. But it was in this hall that the theory became a practice, that the word went out to all. In Thomas Jefferson's phrase, that the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. And today, this nation, conceived in a revolution, nurtured in liberty, maturing in independence, has no intention of abdicating its leadership in that worldwide movement for independence to any nation or society committed to systematic human oppression. As apt and applicable as the Declaration of Independence is today, we would do well to honor that other historic document drafted in this hall, the Constitution of the United States, for it stressed not independence but interdependence, not the individual liberty of one, but the indivisible liberty of all. In most of the old colonial world, the struggle for independence is coming to an end. Even in areas behind the curtain, that which Jefferson called the disease of liberty still appears to be infectious. With the passing of ancient empires, today less than 2% of the world's population live in territories officially termed dependent. As this effort for independence, inspired by the American Declaration of Independence, now approaches a successful close, a great new effort for interdependence is transforming the world about us. And the spirit of that new effort is the same spirit which gave birth to the American Constitution. That spirit is today most clearly seen across the Atlantic Ocean. The nations of Western Europe, long divided by feuds far more bitter than any which existed among the 13 colonies, are today joining together, seeking, as our forefathers sought, to find freedom in diversity and unity in strength. The United States looks on this vast new enterprise with hope and admiration. We do not regard a strong and united Europe as a rival, but a partner. To aid its progress has been the basic object of our foreign policy for 17 years. We believe that a united Europe will be capable of playing a greater role in the common defense, of responding more generously to the needs of poorer nations, of joining with the United States and others in lowering trade barriers, resolving problems of commerce and commodities and currency, and developing coordinated policies in all economic, political, and diplomatic areas. We see in such a Europe a partner with whom we can deal on a basis of full equality in all the great and burdensome tasks of building and defending a community of free nations. It would be premature at this time to do more than indicate the high regard with which we view the formation of this partnership. The first order of business is for our European friends to go forward in forming the more perfect union which will someday make this partnership possible. A great new edifice is not built overnight. It was 11 years from the Declaration of Independence to the writing of the Constitution. The construction of workable federal institutions required still another generation. The greatest works of our nation's founders lay not in documents and in declarations, but in creative, determined action. The building of the new House of Europe has followed the same practical, purposeful course. Building the Atlantic Partnership now will not be easily or cheaply finished. But I will say here and now, on this day of independence, that the United States will be ready for a declaration of interdependence, that we will be prepared to discuss with a united Europe the ways and means of forming a concrete Atlantic Partnership, a mutually beneficial partnership between the new Union now emerging in Europe and the old American Union, founded here 175 years ago. All this will not be completed in a year, but let the world know it is our goal. In urging the adoption of the United States Constitution, Alexander Hamilton told his fellow New Yorkers to think continentally. Today, Americans must learn to think intercontinentally. Acting on our own, by ourselves, we cannot establish justice throughout the world. We cannot ensure its domestic tranquility, or provide for its common defense, or promote its general welfare, or secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. But joined with other free nations, we can do all this and more. We can assist the developing nations to throw off the yoke of poverty. We can balance our worldwide trade and payments at the highest possible level of growth. We can mount a deterrent powerful enough to deter any aggression. And ultimately, we can help to achieve a world of law and free choice, banishing the world of war and coercion. For the Atlantic Partnership, of which I speak, would not look inward only. Preoccupied with its own welfare and advancement, it must look outward to cooperate with all nations in meeting their common concern. It would serve as a nucleus for the eventual union of all free men, those who are now free, and those who are vowing that someday they will be free. On Washington's birthday in 1861, standing right there, President-elect Abraham Lincoln spoke at this hall on his way to the nation's capital, and he paid a brief but eloquent tribute to the men who wrote, who fought for, and who died for the Declaration of Independence. Its essence, he said, was its promise not only of liberty to the people of this country, but hope to the world. Hope that in due time, the weight should be lifted from the shoulders of all men, and that all should have an equal chance. On this fourth day of July, 1962, we who are gathered at this same hall, entrusted with the fate and future of our states and nation, declare now our vow to do our part to lift the weights from the shoulders of all, to join other men and nations in preserving both peace and freedom, and to regard any threat to the peace or freedom of one as a threat to the peace and freedom of all. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. If that doesn't get you, then nothing will. That's a great piece. Johnny Cash, Ragged Old Flag here. There's three generations of O'Donnell here now at the Scrantastic Spectacular. My son and my grandson, my wife, my daughter-in-law, it's all here now. So the pieces come together. Family first, family, faith, God, and country, right? There is something I need to tell you. The Times Tribune, Christina Lee posted that the Philharmonic has been moved to their Rain location, which is Scranton High School. That is not true. That is fake news. The Philharmonic will perform here as scheduled. Just checked with the organizer, who happens to be Odyssey's general manager, my boss, Ryan Flynn, who said made some phone calls and said, "You know, what's going on here? We're sponsoring this event. We're part of the ones running it. Did somebody make this decision without consulting me? And that is not true. The Scranton Philharmonic was in here. The rain has pretty much subsided. It is marketably cooler, although it's starting to get warming up a little bit now the sun's peeking in and out. But as of right now, and it looks like the rain is starting to subside, move out of our area. The post in the Scranton Times, so talking about Scrantastic, did err, and the Philharmonic will be here in force at their scheduled time of 7:30. So just come on down, check us out, and we'll be here. I'll be broadcasting live till 6 o'clock here on WILK News Radio, but the Scranton Philharmonic will be here. The fireworks are scheduled for 9:30. It's all fun and games until you publish some fake news. It's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate. We cannot consecrate. We cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here, to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. We are down here live from Scrantastic here in beautiful downtown Scranton. The rain has subsided. We do get some peaks of sun every now and then. It has warmed back up. It did get cool there for a while. And, of course, my daughter-in-law was wearing a tank top and needed a t-shirt when she got here. So we got her a La Mega t-shirt because that's all we had here. But come on down, join us. People are already getting their seats back up and ready. The Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, the complete Philharmonic, will be here. They will be performing. Disregard anything you may have heard or read elsewhere, but it is a go. They are going to be here and on. Fireworks at 9:30. The Philharmonic kicks off at 7:30. The band on the side stage should start kicking off again. The vendors are around. A lot of them have food trucks and their own tent set up, so they are fully operational. Come down here and listen, the weather's only supposed to improve from this point forward. So come on down, check us out. We will be here.
My fellow Americans, all the celebration of this day is rooted in history. 56 men came forward to sign the parchment. Proposition that every man, woman, and child had a right to a future of freedom.
That declaration is still a revolutionary document.
And in every generation, Americans have rededicated themselves. ourselves to the belief that all men are created equal, the God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
It is a hope that someday every people and every nation of the world will know the blessings of liberty. And it's the hope of millions all around the world.
For that declaration unleashed, not merely a revolution against the British, but a revolution in human affairs.
This love of liberty is what binds our nation together. This is the love that makes us all Americans.
Through whatever trial and travail, we pledge ourselves to each other and to the cause of human freedom, the cause that has given light to this land.
May God bless forever the United States of America.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. Down live at Scrantastic Spectacular Courthouse Square. The rain is moving out. It's weather's only going to get better from this point on. So come on down, Scrantastic. We have the Philharmonic, the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic. There is food vendors wrapped around Courthouse Square. The bounce house for the kids, they'll be a little wet, but do kids really care? I've seen about a half dozen kids splashing in the puddles because that's what kids do. So, you know, come on down, check it out, and we will let you know what's going to happen. But we're going to be down here, and listen, it's just a great day to be an American, right? Every day is a great day to be an American, and we celebrate that. We went through history. I apologize for all the EES warnings that came, interrupting some of the show, but we are going to replay the show tomorrow. We're going to replay the show tomorrow on the 4th of July, and a lot of you, as you should be, with your families, with your friends, with the people around you that mean the most to you. Some news for the day. The Big Beautiful Bill has passed. We had Congressman Rob Bresnahan, which will be up on our social media, if it's not already, very shortly. So you can listen to that interview there. And again, just putting out there that it's not a perfect bill, but it will help more Pennsylvanians. It will help more Americans. And it will give us the things, the largest tax break in American history. It codified the 2017 tax breaks. Each and every working class American, middle class, lower class, upper class, does not matter. If you're working, if you're doing 40 hours a week or whatever hours you work, you saved money because of this bill. You're going to take home more money because of this bill. So that being said, we talk about the expansions of government all the time. Especially when it comes to COVID. Government grew. School budgets grew. Everything grew because of COVID. SNAP programs grew because of COVID. More people depended on it. A lot of people weren't working. It was a once-in-a-lifetime event that disrupted the world, no doubt. But they want to keep those levels of funding, and it's just not the way things work. You have an emergency, you deal with the emergency. When the emergency is over, it is time to move on. It is time to go back to normalcy. And they don't want to do that. They don't want us to do it. They don't want their budgets to do it. And I get it. People become accustomed. I talk about it with household budgets all the time. You get a raise within weeks. That raise just gets dissolved into your everyday life. They can increase your salary by $10,000 today. And in a few months, you wouldn't even notice that. There wouldn't be extra money in your bank. Yes, you'd be spending extra frivolous money on things, but you're going to live up to that threshold because of that extra money you're getting, unless you're extremely disciplined. A lot of people aren't. You know, that goes for me and everyone else. When something like that happens, I've been very disciplined to where, you know what, if there's a 2% raise, if there's a 3% raise, if my 401k increases by a percent, I increase it by a little more. I don't even want to see that money. I don't want to know that money exists. I want it to go right into my future. Somewhere where, sooner or later, I could sit on a beach and I could do what I want. Again, I could do that now, but why have to worry about anything? Why have to worry about an emergency? Why have to worry about things like that? And, you know, we are far more disciplined, most of us, in our household budgets, in our personal budgets, how we finance a car, how we buy a house, how we do things, then our government. And the government is a massive bureaucracy. A lot of times, and a lot of people, and that's why this fight is happening, because of politics, depend on the government. That's not the way it should be. It's not the way it should be. And it's become that. And it's become accepted as that. And we can't have that. We need to live within our means, and that goes for the government, too. Wait and see what happens. Look at the employment numbers that are coming out. Look at the unemployment numbers as they stay solid. Everything that you were told over the past 4 months, the doom and gloom, everything's going to come to an end. These programs are going to cancel. People are going to die. They literally told us people are going to die. People die every day, but not because of what the decisions are being made in Washington. Make no mistake about it. You are in control of your life. You are in control of your destiny. You know, I've spoken to young children who make $10,000 a month during the summer for cutting grass, went out and started their own business. They're a driver. They go out. They're a go-getter. You know, I talked a couple stories a couple weeks ago about a young man who graduated high school, and his Burger King, the way he worked part-time, was short-staffed, and he went in his graduation uniform to go work because he was a team player. He was a go-getter. His job was important to him. The people he worked with was important to him. His employer was important to him. And you know what? That I know nothing about that individual. I don't know what his grades are. I don't know what he took up in high school. I don't know what his future is in college, but I could tell you one thing. He's going to be successful in whatever he does. He's going to be sought after by employers. He's going to be sought after by friends. He's going to be sought after as a people that people want to be around. Someone that gets things done. Somebody that is a team player and works together. That's what youth part-time jobs were supposed to be. Learning to take orders from a boss. Learning to work under a supervisor. Learning to work as a team. Something Congress has forgot, right? Something a lot of people have forgot. And maybe it's time we start holding them accountable for that. So for five months now, you've heard doom and gloom out. Everything from the VA to healthcare to the border to immigration to it's doom and gloom. Everything has been more successful. Everything's working better than it was. Maybe not all wars have been stopped, but a lot were stopped. And if you think that India-Pakistan was a small feat to stop when they were already shooting rockets at each other, make no mistake. You have foreign nations wanting to nominate the president for a Nobel Peace Prize just for that, because that could have started a world war on a catastrophe collapse. But it didn't. It was stopped because someone intervened. Russia-Ukraine, well, you got two sides that don't want to stop fighting. So, you know, maybe it's going to be a little more involved. You have Benjamin Netanyahu coming here on Monday to talk about a ceasefire with Hamas. Now, Hamas has already said that they're not ceasefiring. They're going to continue their fight. Well, you know what? They're going to continue to get crushed then, and they're going to continue to put their people in jeopardy. And it's the people of Palestine who are putting up with a terrorist government that put themselves in that position. And you know what? You make choices, and when you make poor choices, you got to live with the results of that. Is it ideal? No. Is it downright disgusting at times? Sure it is. War is not pretty on any case. And we become desensitized to, or oversensitized to it. So, as we move forward, celebrate America. Celebrate you. Celebrate your family. Celebrate the ones around you. They are the people who should be your ecosphere. They're the people that you depend on, not the government. You build a strong circle around you, you need very little in life. You do for yourself, you will provide for yourself. And that's what the dream of America was, right? Leave us to our own devices. Let us plant our own crops. Let us work our own fields. Let us build our own buildings. Let us build our bridges. Let us take care of our roads. Let us create manufacturing like the world has never seen. And we've gotten away from that. We've gotten lazy. We've gotten complicit. We've looked at a dollar and cheap things from Amazon or from Temu or whatever else these programs come from. Look towards America. Hopefully you have a flag outside your house. Look to that. And become appreciative of the people around you and the great country this is, because it truly is. You know, I've seen the best and worst in our societies. I've seen the best and worst in this nation. It's truly worth fighting for. It's something special. And that strive for a more perfect union each and every day depends on you and I. You know what? If this big, beautiful bill doesn't turn out to be a positive for the majority of America, there's a big, beautiful thing called an election. And during that time, you can make those changes. It's happened in the past. It'll happen again. I mean, look at here at our local governments. You have governments failing us on the county level, on the city level. You know, I've had the amount of people I've come walk up to me here in downtown Scranton and said some of the streets here look like Fallujah, and write them down for me to say, here, drive this street. It literally is like Fallujah. And I was in Fallujah. Not me, them. So we can get past that. We can demand more from our government. We can elect better individuals. We could look at what they tell us and the products they produce, such as this bill, and say, you know what? This was good for me. This was good for my family. And in 2017, some of the things that are included in this bill were good for a lot of us. Go back and look at those W-2s from that time frame. Look at that reduction in tax burden that you had then. That's permanent now. No tax on tips and overtime. There's going to be a lot of information. We spoke to Congressman Rob Bresnahan. He's going to be putting informationals on how that is exactly going to work. That's huge for families. Yes, it's only for a limited amount of time, but it's huge for families. You could get that step up and do something great with it. Put that money aside. Get that nest egg rolling. Get that IRA for your kids, your family, so they don't have to worry about nothing in their future. That's the greatness that's America, and that's where we fail to see. They want us fighting with each other. They want us looking at each other. They want us to believe the rhetoric. Don't. Create your own circle. Look for your own happiness. Create your own ecosphere. And that starts with your friends and your family. And it could start right now, today. Go find your loved ones. Give them a hug. Tell them you love them. Make some plans for tomorrow. And I don't care if it's just sitting on a deck in the sun with the sun on your forehead, cooking a hot dog. I don't care. You're with the people that are most special with you, and make that count. It's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio on this July 3rd, the day before the birth of this beautiful nation. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. I'm finishing up the show, but I'm still going to be down here. It's Grandtastic, spectacular, Courthouse Square. The Pennsylvania, Northeast of Pennsylvania Philharmonic is going on at 7:30. Fireworks will be at 9:30. We will be here. You'll see the WILK tent. You'll see our other station tents. We'll be around. Come down, say hello, and God bless, right? Greatest country in the world, America. You enjoy your 4th of July weekend. Enjoy your time with your friends and family. And we will see you on Monday. God bless, be safe, and I'll see you then.